expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. It is 8 minutes past the hour. Lovely spring summery sort of day here. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I've been tweeting this morning. If you want to find out what I had for breakfast, you're going to have to go to Twitter. Online with the website thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. So let's dig in, shall we? Your job is on the line. That is the only conclusion that I can draw after this week's disastrous unemployment numbers. If you look at what happened last month with the unemployment rate, it was announced on Thursday, we saw job growth way below expectations. Just 115,000 net new jobs created in April. I guess it's better than going negative again, but if you look at how we're trending, it's the same thing that's happened the last 3 years. We've had terrific growth in January, a little bit less in February, a little bit less, but still good in March, and April, May, and June start to fall off the cliff. I don't know if we're falling off the cliff. The unemployment rate fell to 8.1%. Everybody went, oh, 8.1%. This is almost at that magic under 8% number so that the president can get reelected. Or if you're on the other side, that's that magic 8.1 number, that is so high he'll never get reelected. The truth is, 8.1% is a terrible unemployment number, because the true unemployment number is somewhere close to 15, a little over 15%. If you're 25 and under, your unemployment rate is a lot closer to 25%. And the real reason we're even seeing 8.1% versus 10% unemployment is that 385,000 Americans left the workforce. That's all that's going on here. We are at the lowest number, the lowest percentage of work-age Americans employed since 1981, 31 years ago. 63%. Only 63% of Americans who are the age of working are actually out there working. We're still missing 6 million jobs just to get back to where we were 5 years ago. 6 million jobs. It's absolutely crazy what's going on here. There are people who have been unemployed for years, desperate to get a job. I've been in touch with a good friend of mine. She's a senior vice president level of marketing, smart as a whip, hard worker, innovative thinker. I think she's now on month maybe 13, 14th, or 15th. We're still looking for a job. I have another friend, another high-level marketing person, unemployed for, I think, 8 months now. Lawyers who were partners downsized out of their equity partnerships. The whole white-collar economy out. Realtors who have finally started to make a buck, many of them doing rentals, which pay just a fraction of what sales used to pay, are not really as stable as it seems. It's so interesting. So men, 7.5 million men in the construction industry, and it was primarily men, took the first hit when the Great Recession started. Women in the public sector, they're getting hit now. Teacher jobs going out. Government jobs going out. We have never had a recession since World War II where it took this long to get back all the jobs that were lost. And everybody says, wow, when's the real estate recovery happening? And I think to myself, for 5 years, I've been trying to show you jobs and real estate go hand in hand. You cannot have a resurgence in one without the other. How are you going to pay your mortgage if you don't have a job? How are you going to pay your mortgage when you're no longer earning the 3 times overtime that you were earning, and you're back to earning just your regular hourly rate at 34 hours a week? You're not even at 40 hours a week. The average right now is 34 and a half hours a week. And think of all the industries that depend on whether you buy or sell a home this year so that they can have a good year. And these are like what I call 1099 industries, right? These are small business owners who may or may not employ anybody else, but they're counting on you buying or selling a home this year in order to have some sort of revenue. Home inspectors, title companies, attorneys, mortgage lenders, real estate agents, contractors, stagers. The list goes on and on. And if you don't feel like your job is secure, you're not going to make the investment to buy a home, even if it is the best time in 50 years and probably your lifetime to buy. You're going to be like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's a huge, risky step. What if I buy that house and I close on it and the next week I'm unemployed? Now what am I going to do? And so you're probably thinking you're just going to keep renting. But what you need to do is you need to figure out whether your job is safe. If you're hourly, are your hours getting cut or are you still getting overtime? Or are you getting more overtime so that your employer doesn't have to hire any more full-time people? Is your company bringing in new business or is it just scraping by on older contracts? You've got to look and see. You've got to take your head out of the sand and look around your office and see what's going on. Talk to people. Try to get a sense of what's happening. If you're a business owner, are your clients expanding for the long haul, or is this just another short spring run-up only to be followed by a devastating summer? And if that's the case, what are you doing right now to hunker down and prepare for it? I know what we're doing. You gather up your cash, you hoard it, you don't spend anything you don't need to spend right now, you preserve cash flow. You keep your people busy. You encourage them to work as hard as they possibly can. And you hope that we don't fall where Europe's already gone. Europe's already in recession. And it's not just one country. There's a whole host of countries over there that have fallen into recession. And here we are in the United States, where growth has slowed from where it was last quarter, where the number of net new jobs created is way under what expectations were. And mortgage interest rates, and we're going to talk about this next hour, have fallen to a new 50-year low. New 50-year low. That's not good news. I mean, it's great news for anybody who can refinance. Again, we'll talk about that next hour. But the idea that mortgage interest rates are reacting directly to the unemployment numbers, it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. It's not a good sign because if the economy was functioning the way it should be functioning, mortgage interest rates would go up. And you wouldn't hear me say things like, this is the lowest interest rate in 50 years. You wouldn't be hearing me say things like, gather up your cash and make sure you've got cash flow to boot and make sure that you're exactly where you want to be. Make sure you know you can sleep at night. That's not the message you'd be hearing from me. It would be an entirely different message. But I'm sitting here and I'm watching what's going on and I think to myself, there are so many ways we could fall off the cliff here. We're still on that knife's edge, and I want to believe, like you want to believe, that we've made it, that we have gotten past this whole unemployment thing, that we are starting to create real jobs in this economy. But the truth is a little bit different. The truth is that, and I hate to say it, this is the longest period of time since World War II in any recession where jobs have not come back. I mean, even the jobless recovery in 2000 did a better job than we're doing. And it did have the real estate boom to sort of pull it up. And those 7.5 million construction industry jobs were all busy working and producing and getting paid and buying houses. And yes, there was a bubble. But still, we supposedly came out of this recession in 2009. That was 3 years ago. 5 million people are still unemployed. Your friends, your neighbors, your spouse, your partner, people on your block. You know so many people who are unemployed and have been unemployed. It's one of the reasons that Atlanta continues to have one of the worst housing markets in the country. So many foreclosures, so many short sales, nothing getting processed. Why? Because people are unemployed here. You know them, I know them, and my heart breaks for them. And my heart breaks for you because you're the ones who have to pick up the pieces of your family. You have to support them. You have to get them through the week in and week out drudgery of going to file for unemployment, trying to prove that you're looking for a job, keeping their emotions supported while they do this. It is so difficult. It's so hard to keep a positive attitude when you've been unemployed for 3 years or a year and a half, and to go to every job interview as if it's your first one out the gate with all the energy and enthusiasm that you know that you can muster so that you can convince that employer that you are ready to move on with your life and take this job. And if you're at home supporting somebody like that, you know that that's just devastating. And you're probably up all night just thinking about it, wondering how you're going to make the next month's payments. I have so many friends who have been in this position. One of them actually just got a job after a year and a half. That was amazing. He said, yep, I've only just drained all of my savings, half of my 401k that took 22 years to build up. I'm just about ready to raid the kids' 529 plans. And he's lucky. He's lucky because he actually has the assets to tap into. Think your job is safe? Might not be quite as safe as you think. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Lines are wide open if you'd like to chat about this or about real estate. We also have some other news this week. Again, mortgage interest rates dropping to a new all-time low. New 50-year record. I've got some tips on how you can get the best mortgage loan for you and navigate all the other stuff that's going on. There's also something really interesting happening. The possibility of a big check coming to you from your lender just to get out of your mortgage, just to get out of your house. We'll talk about that too. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glenk. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a flash on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
25 minutes past the hour, a little Diana Krall for you. She's got a new album out this summer with a Brazilian theme. I've already bought some tickets to go see her this summer. You might want to as well. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lines are open if you are interested in joining this conversation. We're going to talk about mortgage interest rates as well. They are at a new all-time low. So one of the things that I think is really important when you're looking for a job, and I've said this before on the show, is networking. And the hardest thing in the world to do when you're out of a job or you know you're about to be fired is to shore up your networking, because you feel like if you reach out to somebody and they say no to you, or they're even if because they're busy and they just don't have the focus time for you, right? I always say to Sam, I don't have the RAM, right? If you are in such a fragile state and you're worried about losing a job or you've just lost a job, every single door that closes feels like a slam. It feels like somebody's just sort of giving you a huge wallop to the face. And you feel sick to your stomach over it. And so it gets magnified. This is the hardest part. If you're at home with somebody who's looking for a job, you know this to be true. They are magnifying and distorting all of the relationships that they have. And yet those relationships, that network, is going to be how you find your next job. That's how it goes. You can answer ads. I've put out ads. I've gotten 300 resumes from ads. As an employer, it's a nightmare to go through 300 resumes, of which 98% are completely out of the park. They have nothing to do with anything. And you search and you sift and you're looking for what's there. How do we find our best people in my office? Networks. We tap into our networks and we say, who do you know who we could bring in? You have to do the reverse. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this idea of networking with your network, taking every relationship you have and milking it for every connection that they have. It's LinkedIn, but it's you. You're the LinkedIn. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB, our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We are talking today about jobs and about the lackluster numbers that came through on Thursday showing that April basically was a disastrous month. I don't know any good way to put this together for you folks, but in this country, we need 125,000 new jobs, somewhere between 125,000 and 150,000 new net created jobs just to keep up with population growth every month. This past month, our net creation, job creation numbers were 115,000. That is less than what we need just to keep up with population growth. And for the 5 or 6 million people who are still out of work because of the Great Recession, we're not even touching that group yet. It could take another 6 to 8 years just to create enough jobs to get to back to where we were in 2005, 2006. It's not even close. Not even close to what we need to have the economy get moving again. When people say to me, Elise, when do you think the housing market's going to recover? I say to them, you know, it depends on job growth. It depends on how many jobs are created and how good those jobs are, because it doesn't do us any good to create a whole host of low-paying service sector jobs where people can't even afford to make a mortgage payment. That's not going to help us grow out of the recession. The kind of jobs we need are the kind of jobs that were lost at the beginning of the recession, right? 7.5 million construction jobs. Atlanta benefited so much from that. Yes, we pushed out, we developed subdivisions, many of which are sitting there with houses unsold in foreclosure. Short sales abound. It's true. We overbuilt. But we were also busy building hospitals and bridges and roads, schools. The kind of construction that we need to get back to in this country. The kind of construction that you need to start building if you're one of those people who lost those jobs. There's just no other way about it. So if you look at $4 a gallon gas and you think about the cost of daily life, and then you look at a job that might be available for $8 an hour, you quickly do the math and realize that you could take that job, and there's no shame in taking a low-paying job. The problem is when it's not enough to meet your bills. That's the problem. And so creating low-level jobs, low-paying jobs, when you used to be a vice president of marketing somewhere and we're making six figures, you can't get over that disparity. And so you don't take that job, even if you were offered it, and instead, you keep looking for a new job that's going to come close to what you were earning. I cannot tell you how many people I have spoken to over the past year who've gotten new jobs and come in at maybe half of what they were earning. just met a guy a couple of weeks ago when I was giving a speech, and he came up to me and he said, I want to work. I want to work, and I am working. I finally got a new full-time job. My problem is it pays $40,000 a year, and 2 years ago, my job paid $70,000 a year, and now I have to redo everything I have in my life or look for a part-time job to make up the difference. 50 years ago, households had basically one person working, and in many households, families, it was the guy went out and got a job, and the woman stayed home and raised the kids. And World War II happened, and women went to work. And now what's happened is not only did women go to work, but now women have two jobs, maybe two part-time jobs. Men have two part-time jobs. People are cobbling together lives that they can't depend on financially just to keep the bills paid. And it's been 3 years since the recession ended, and nobody feels safe. I look at people and I think, how could you possibly feel good at night? You're up all night thinking, wondering, praying that you're going to get a check that covers all of those bills. And that's the big problem with where we are with this economy. 15% of us are out of work. And those who have been out of a job have been unemployed longer than in any other recession that we've had in 50 years, 70 years, 80 years. It's getting pretty desperate. I should tell you, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Those are our numbers. Give us a call if you would like to join this conversation, or if you have a question about real estate mortgages. Happy to talk about that. Mortgage interest rates hit, because of all this stuff going on, mortgage interest rates hit another all-time low this week. And if you haven't started thinking about refinancing, I want to encourage you to do that. And we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. I promised you some tips on getting a job, and I wanted to bring your mind back to my friend Liz Hanlon of UltimateResumes.com. She used to be an HR executive for a very big organization for many, many years, and then she went out on her own, and she started this website, UltimateResume.com. And I think Liz gives like the best advice I know for people looking for a job. And, you know, I've sent so many people to her over the years for help with their resumes. And what she says is the number one issue. Your job is to be a star in whatever you do. Most people's resume, if you are looking for a job, I would bet $5 that your resume doesn't tell people what you want to do and what you can do. Right? Most people don't understand what they have to do to focus their resume so that somebody like me, who's looking for a job or looking to hire somebody for a job, will be able to tell. And I know this because I've looked at, I just said this, we were looking to hire somebody in my company. We put out an ad. We got 300 resumes, of which 295 were completely useless. They were poorly done. They had typos. They were very outmoded in terms of how they looked. They weren't focused. They didn't deliver the expectation that I had that they would be able to get my job done. It was as if they just have a standard resume and they throw it out in the universe to every single job offering that looks even close. I mean, I was looking for a web editor and I got at least a dozen resumes from lawyers. Why would a lawyer think that they would make a good web editor? I was completely confused. Well, I'm sifting. It's a whole stack of lawyer resumes that I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with. So Your resume is your calling card. Whether you're in construction, whether you're looking for a web editor job, whether you've got 21 years of experience and you're earning $500,000 a year, whatever it is that you're doing, your experience is your experience. But what you need to do is tailor that experience to the specific job you're looking for. And Liz likes to say, it's a personal marketing strategy tailored for each specific job. You're applying in 4 different industries for 10 different jobs. You're going to have 10 different versions of your resume. Absolutely. You've got to create that high impact look and feel. You have to identify your career themes and accomplishments. You have to prepare for your interviews. It is so important. I have friends who say to me that if they don't get a thank you note within 24 hours, preferably a written one on real paper versus an email thank you note, they toss those clients. That's the level that you have to go to today just to get your foot in the door. It's not even any more complicated than that. But if you aren't even willing to go there, there just are so many other people who are, and you fall to the back of the line, which is going to be devastating all over again. 404-872-0750 is our number at the station. Liz's website, ultimate-resumes, with an S on it, .com, for more great details, and she also has a great blog as well. 404-872-0750, Jan joins us on the line. Hi, Jan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. What's on your mind today?
Good. I'm 60 years old, and June 2009, I got a 10-year loan on a house that I bought. It's at 4.75, and I'm trying to decide whether it's worth me refinancing it.
Why do you want to refinance right now?
Well, just to save the, you know, couple percent payment.
Are you trying to do something with that money? Are you trying to, is there something else that you're preparing for, or are you just...
No, I just want to have my house, get it paid off as soon as possible.
So, have you, I assume with a 10-year loan that you started paying 2 years ago, that you have a significant amount of equity in this house, right?
Yes.
What do you think that you will save? Have you thought about, have you looked around at the 10-year loans? Because my sister got a 10-year loan very recently for about
3%. Yeah.
So it's significantly lower. Why now? Why are you looking, why haven't you looked over the last year and a half?
I actually have.
Okay.
I actually have and just haven't done it.
Just haven't pulled the trigger on it?
Right. And actually, I don't know at this point if I can qualify for a loan. Because, see, before when I originally got the loan, I was having an income, and I don't have an income now.
That's a real problem.
Although I do have the money in the bank to completely pay off this loan.
So why don't you just completely pay off the loan?
Well, because I'm kind of living on that money rather than touching my 401k money.
Are you, how old are you?
60.
You're 60, so you're not old enough for Social Security.
No, I retired in 2005, and I get a pension, a small pension, and that wouldn't pay my house payment.
The pension?
But I have money in savings, yes, that I
how much
used to live off of. And
are you worried about running out of that savings?
Well, possibly.
I think you've got, are you getting health benefits from your former employer in retirement?
I get medical benefits, but I have to pay a pretty good premium.
Okay, so you're still 5 years away from being able to qualify for Medicare, which, by the way, I think will still be there for you. Good for you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, hopefully. We don't know for sure. I can't say the same for me.
Yeah, okay.
So you've got 2 years to go till you can get Social Security. With Social Security and your pension, would that be enough to make your payment?
Yeah, probably.
See, the problem that you're having, and you already know this, is you actually can't qualify for a lower loan, even though it would make it even more affordable than what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And actually, I'm somewhat surprised that even in June of 2010, a 10-year loan cost you 4.75%.
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. I didn't have my paperwork with me because this is the first time I've gotten through to you in quite a while. So,
well, we're happy to have you on the show.
But I didn't know if in the meantime I might be able to get more on my money later if things start moving, you know, where I could put it into the mutual funds or stock market and maybe earn more money. But, you know, at the time, I've not been able to do that.
So the if interest rates start to rise, and there are some experts out there who say that this year, one guy who actually called the full depths of the recession is saying that interest rates could skyrocket this year. I've been hearing it now for 3 years. It hasn't happened yet. If interest rates skyrocket and you're locked in at 4.75%, you're golden because all of your other money is going to actually start paying more than that and bringing it home to roost, basically.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, the money that's in the savings is money that I had gotten from my other house. And I could have paid off the entire house, but I just didn't want to do that right at that point.
I think not paying off the house is a smart idea. The big problem for you, Jan, is that you're not going to be able to qualify. And so even though you probably could get a 10-year loan at 3% if you had income, you don't. And you could go talk to a lender about it and see what would be done and if there's anything else they could do. My guess is they're going to say to you, your income, debt-to-income ratios just don't make the cut. And it's a problem so many borrowers and homeowners have. A smaller payment would make it so much more affordable, and they can't qualify under the new stricter guidelines to get those mortgages. 404-872-0750. Thank you so much for your call. 52 minutes past the hour. We'll be back in a flash on News Talk WSB. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink. Little Diana Krall for you this Sunday morning. 404-872-0750. As you may have heard, mortgage interest rates have hit an all-time low. Lowest interest rates in 50-plus years, 3.84% for a 30-year fixed-rate loan. For anybody who's got great credit, who's got equity or money in the bank, this is an amazing opportunity. We're going to talk about refinancing all next hour, what you need to know to get off your duff. And out there, we just heard from Jan. She's been watching this for 2 years, and I think she's missed her window because of personal things in her life. Let that not happen to you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Don't put your lips so close to my cheek. Don't smile or I'll be lost beyond me.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Whoa. 7 minutes past the hour on the Elise Klink Show. Thanks for joining us today, live on Sundays, 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. The number 404-872-0750. Online all the time. I've been emailing back and forth with folks. We're also tweeting. My Twitter handle at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. If you go to thinklink.com, be sure to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. It goes right into your email inbox every Thursday with valuable information, coupons, discounts, deals, all sorts of stuff that you can't get anywhere else. You'll get links to Equifax, Finance Blog, to eCredible, to the Glink page on eCredible, where we have a new amazing thing that we're doing, working with roadloans.com. So if you're applying for a loan through Road Loans and you get rejected, you can sign up with eCredible and never get rejected for an auto loan again. Very exciting stuff. That's eCredible.com/Glink, or just go to thinkglink.com and click on the eCredible ad. It'll take you right there and tell you all about it. 404-872-0750, as you may have heard, mortgage interest rates hit an all-time low this week. Lowest rates in 50 years. Absolutely unbelievable. Does it make sense for you to refinance? What could you do with an extra $50, $150, or even $250 in your pocket every month? That is the question. And now we have to figure out if you can actually afford to refinance, if you're going to qualify, where you are and where the government says you need to be in order to refinance. All kinds of information about HARP, the Home Affordable Refinance Program. We're going to talk about that all this hour on the Elise Klink Show. 404-872-0750. Tim joins us on the line in Gainesville. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Elise. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Love your show.
Thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was unemployed for a while, and I'm considering trying to refinance my home. I wanted to get your opinion on how long I would need to be reemployed before I approach my lender about a refinance.
Well, do you have a new job? That sounds promising.
I do. I just started this week. I was out of work for 1 year and one day.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you making the same kind of money you were making before?
No, I'm making about $35,000 less a year than I was before.
Wow, that's just what we were talking about last hour. How's that making you feel? You worried?
Well, I'm a little worried. You know, we bought our house with a higher income. I'm just looking for ways to, you know, cut down on my mortgage payment every month so that hopefully we won't have to move and we can stay in our home.
Have you thought about, I don't know, how long have you owned your house? That's a good question to start with.
We took out the loan in November of 2009.
To buy the house?
Yes.
So you didn't buy at the high. That's a good thing.
No, it was already, the market was already declining when we purchased our home.
And what kind of equity did you put into the house? Did you put a down payment down?
We did. We normally, we've moved several times. We put less equity in at this time just because we wanted the safety net of some money and savings.
Always
we
good.
Put about, well, we didn't put the 20% down. We put about probably 10 or 12% down.
And do you have equity now, do you think?
Yeah, I think we probably have about 40 or 45,000 equity in the home.
All right. So you've got equity in the house. You're making less money. Have you done a budget? Have you thought about where ideally you'd like to be financially in terms of what you're spending stuff on? Because that's what I find is the real kicker for people. That's what keeps them up at night when you're sort of trying to reallocate that money that's coming in when it's so much less.
Yeah, I mean, we've been forced to do that over the past year. You know, we've cut out lawn service, reduced our cable TV spending. You know, we've been reducing our budget. And, you know, now that I've got a new job and I know what I'm going to be making, and I've also tapped into a pension with a previous employer that I didn't want to do, but I just recently done that. So I've got a little bit of that income coming in. So, yeah, we've looked at our budget. We think we can make it on what our mortgage is now, but we would love to refinance if it's feasible, just to cut those monthly payments down a little bit.
Well, the good news for you, and I want to be a cheerleader for you, the good news is you really only need one or two paychecks in order to show the lender what you're making. They're going to look at a current W-2.
Uh-huh.
And the way it looks with lenders is it's kind of like a snapshot of your life today. And then right before closing, it's going to be another snapshot of your life.
Okay.
So your life today, Tim, you've got a job, a full-time W-2 job.
Okay.
So that's good news, right? Because you're going to come in and say, here are my assets, here's my savings account, here's where we think the equity is, and I've got a job. Now, what kind of a loan did you get with 10 to 12% down? Is it a pretty standard, like Fannie Freddie kind of a loan, or was it FHA?
It wasn't FHA. It was just a traditional mortgage, 30-year. We did get a 5% rate. So, you know, it's a 30-year mortgage with 5% interest.
So you ought to be able to do a little bit better than that today.
Okay.
How's your credit?
Excellent.
Oh, that's good. So you were able to make sure that you were making your payments, even while unemployed. So important to get you
Absolutely.
On the right path.
Like I said, thankfully we had some money in savings, and I did have to take a little bit out of an IRA account just to keep us above water. But, never missed a payment.
That's
Credit's
great.
Still great.
So here's what I want you to do, Tim.
Okay.
I want you to go talk to four or five different lenders.
Okay.
I want you to go to annualcreditreport.com.
Okay.
pull out your current credit history, pay for the credit score. I want you to gather all of your income, assets, everything together so that the lender can look through it and go, yep, here's your bank account. I see your retirement account. I see what the pension's bringing in. You got to be able to show off your assets. And I want you to get your W-2 when you get your first one. And now I want you to call a big bank, a small regional bank, a local credit union. If you belong to one or you can join one, like Delta, okay. Everybody can join Deltas. There's a whole bunch like that these days. They're not so picky anymore, credit unions. They really want your business.
That's who we financed with originally. It was sold to a big bank, but that's who we started with.
Well, I would go back, and I would take a look at these four or five different lenders, and I would say to the mortgage lender, assume that this is my financial picture. This is what I'm currently paying. What can you do for me?
Okay.
And then you're going to start to understand what the difference is. And you're going to have the same interest rate whether you do a 30-year loan, 20-year loan. Go with the 30-year loan because you want to keep your payments as low as possible.
Right.
And maximize it. And that's where you start to think about what kind of savings you're actually going to get.
Okay.
All right?
Well, thank you very much, Elise. Like I said, I love your show. I listen to you every Sunday, so...
Tim, I know this is going to work out for you. Congratulations on starting a new job. I'm thrilled.
Thank you. I am too.
All right. Have a great Sunday. 15 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. John joins us on the line from Conyers. Hi, John.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Elise.
More than welcome. What's going on today?
Well, I've got a quick question. We're trying to refinance and need some advice on refinancing our primary residence, which is also used as a farm.
Working farm. So there's an investment portion to it. And not, has this farm been in your family a long time?
No, it hasn't. We bought this property 6 years ago and was looking for a way to help utilize the acreage that we have.
How many acres do you have?
26.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So do you lease out portions of it to local farmers for hay or corn or what's going on?
We don't. We actually raise livestock on that farm. We personally, my family, myself,
cows.
And my family.
Cows?
No, alpacas.
Alpaca?
Yes.
That's great. And what do you do with them?
We shear them for their fleece and sell the fleece, and we also sell off, we breed and we sell the babies as well.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What do they like as pets? I just wondered, are they look great when I'm sure they're walking around the fields, but are they nice?
Oh, that's why we did it, was because I have small children, and if I'm not there, my wife and small children can be around these animals, and they are as calm as ever.
Wow.
So, they were a perfect fit for, our family, and they're easy on the field as well. So.
All right, so you're raising alpacas, you're shearing them, you've got them roaming around, they're family pets, you love them. Okay, so you've got a working farm and you want to refinance. Tell me a little bit about where you are in terms of your loan and what you're trying to get out of this. Obviously, you want to save some money, but
right.
Sort of what's behind this?
Okay, what's behind this is my wife and I both have regular jobs as well, 9-to-5s, and that's the source of our income, and it's a very good income. God bless us, and we have a great income.
All right.
But because we're still showing a little bit of a loss on the farm, a lot of the big banks won't refinance because we have a farm loss.
So, what's interesting about this is so many people are in exactly your situation. They have these side businesses, which is what your farm stuff is, or
correct.
They have it's not even an active role, but they financed like a cousin or a nephew, and the nephew's business has a little loss, and they're an owner of a tiny little share in that property or in that business and they're showing a loss, the loss comes back. And even if the loss is like $1,000 a year and the income is $150,000 a year, the banks are like, oh, so sorry, you have a loss.
That's right.
And that really stinks for you because you either have to just not declare the business so that it cleans off of your taxes, but I'm sure it's helping your taxes.
It is.
And or you literally are going to have to find some specialized lender that's going to be able to help you. But you're not going to be able to qualify for the sort of regular stuff. You're running into the problem of the pendulum, as I like to call it. The pendulum that the lenders have swung so far in the other direction that there is no way that most ordinary mortals can qualify for it.
Right.
So I'm not sure that there is a great answer for you. But you might want to talk to a specialty lender. This is where you would want to talk to mortgage brokers, really local banks that have an ability to take a look at what's really going on and say, right, we understand you have a loss on this, but your income is really solid, and this is what you actually have coming in.
Okay.
And you need somebody who portfolios their loans. That is, they're not going to sell it to Fannie and Freddie. Now, the bad news
right.
for you is that's like 93% of everybody right now.
Right. Does it make a difference that I already know that we are HARP qualified?
That's interesting. So if you're HARP qualified, what will HARP take you down to, the Home Affordable Refinance Program? What will that take you down to?
We just recently applied for refinance to a major bank, okay? Actually, a broker.
Okay.
And our house appraised for a lot more than what we owe on it.
That's a stunner.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me, but we were way ahead of what we owed on it, according to the appraisal. But the only reason why they declined it, credit's good, income to debt's good, all that's good. We showed a loss on a farm.
If you can qualify for a HARP refinance and it will save you money, it won't pay you the amazing rates you're seeing, but if it will save you a little bit and you don't have to pay out of pocket for it, which is really how those HARP refinances are supposed to be, you should take that and run with it. Because if you've got the alpaca farm going on, and that's on your income tax form, the banks are going to see it, and I really don't think you're going to have any luck there. But if you could do the HARP refinance, that might save you money from the get-go. And at some point in time, if you can just save money, you're ahead of the game. Thanks for the call, John. 21 minutes past the hour on the Elise Gling Show, 404-872-0750. Be back in a flash. News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Now you say you're lonely.
27 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Gling. Thanks for joining us today. I've been tweeting back and forth with James. He's an exclusive buyer agent who listens to the show regularly. And he said that he thinks lenders would require a 90-day history of employment before refinancing. True. Before you can close, there is some period of time, 60, 90 days, that they're going to want to see that you're able to keep that job that you got. However, what I said was, and this is true, that the minute you have your new W-2, you can start researching which lender you're going to want to use who is going to be able to help you. So applying for the loan, they may not close until you've got 90 days of employment history behind you. But what they will do is when you walk through the door with that W-2, with your credit history, with your credit score from annual credit report, and you start to talk about rates, points, fees, programs, and what they're going to be able to do for you, they will make the assumption that is your snapshot. And they will begin to have that conversation with you. And 90 days later, you'll be able to close. But if you don't get all those ducks in a row, you're not going to be able to get on the road to refinancing. And I don't think interest rates are going anywhere anytime soon. But still, lowest interest rates in 50 years this week. 404-872-0750. We'll take more of your calls coming up next. News Talk WSB.
Here's something that I'd like to bring to you.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It is without a doubt swinging the latest style. Service with a smile if you want to swing.
36 minutes past the hour this Sunday on the Elise Glink Show. Little Diana Krall for you. On News Talk WSB, our number 404-872-0750. Sign up for my free weekly newsletter at thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to check out what we're doing at CBS News, at Money Watch, the Equifax Finance Blog, and, of course, all of the content available at eCredible.com. For those of you who want to qualify for loans based on what you spend versus what you're charging, eCredible is a very good way to do it. If you don't have any credit right now, it can help. eCredible.com. All right, we've been talking about mortgage interest rates and how it is just incredible that mortgage interest rates, in response to what happened with the job numbers this week, have fallen to the lowest levels basically since they started counting it. 50-plus years, we are now at 3.84% for a 30-year fixed-rate loan. If you've got the credit, if you've got the equity, if you've got the moxie to go ahead and get your papers together and apply, that's the interest rate you'll get. But you're not going to get the same interest rate for every single loan. Everybody's not going to qualify for that rate. It sounds amazing. The actual qualifying for it is getting very, very difficult, as we just heard. 38 minutes past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. Angie joins us on the line from Duluth. Hi, Angie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. I'm a little frustrated right now with BOA and Fannie Mae.
Why are you frustrated?
Well, because I qualified for a straight-up 30-year refi until the appraisal came in, and the appraisal came in too low.
Right. Well,
so I said, fine, go ahead and put me in for HARP 2.0.
Okay, so hang on a second. How much did the appraisal come in for?
It came in for $149.
And how much do you owe on your mortgage?
$179.
Wow. Did you have any idea you were that far underwater?
No. It was like 6 months before, it was $200K.
And how do you know that?
Because we had tried to refinance, and my husband lost his job, and we couldn't refinance.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That must feel
now
like
we got a new job, yeah.
That must feel, hang on, that must feel like a huge missed opportunity for you.
It's incredible. It's stupid. You know, it's just like, there's nothing different about the house, you know?
No, just about our financial life. So now he has a new job. When did he start the new job?
3 months ago.
Okay, fantastic. And how is his income compared to what it was?
Well, see, we were trying to get it on mine because I never lost my job.
Okay, yours alone.
Right.
And what did they say about that?
I'm sorry?
What did
way back when, I couldn't afford 200K. So it would have mattered back when. But my frustration is, he goes, okay, the equity is too low. You don't have any equity. You're upside down. But you qualify, as far as I can see, in every other way to get a HARP 2.0. I said, okay, cool. Put us in. So he uses the Fannie Mae software, and the Fannie Mae software, he says, comes back, we don't qualify. I said, okay, fine. Why? He goes, it doesn't tell me. Call Fannie Mae. And so I did. I called Fannie Mae, and they said, well, as far as we can tell, you do. And it's back and forth. They said, call your bank again. And they're doing a circular thing, and I just don't know what to do about it.
So you must be going kind of crazy about this, because what's your interest rate on this loan?
6.75.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you will not get 3.84% with the HARP loan. You know that, right?
Well, no, because I haven't been able to go even that far.
Well, let me just tell you, I want to set expectations.
Okay.
3.874 is off the table for you.
Okay.
You might get somewhere around 4.5%. Maybe a little bit higher, 4.75. Still 2 percentage points lower than what you have now, which would be great.
Exactly.
But you're not going to get the super low rates we were talking about.
Well, yeah, but still, 2 points.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to get something in writing from Fannie Mae that says you qualify.
That's what I asked them for, and they said, we can't do that.
Why did they? What did you press them? What did they say?
Yeah, they said, we just don't do that. You just need to go back to your bank because they're, you know.
Okay, here's
what. What they said was, we can't force your bank to do anything.
True.
And we
they can't
prove anything. I mean, it's not up to us. It's up to the bank to accept or not accept. And I'm going. And they said that the computer software that was just updated in March should tell them in detail why we did not qualify. And BOA sent me a snapshot of his computer screen, and all it is one line saying the investor software says they do not qualify.
Okay. You were told some things that are true.
Okay.
Number one, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have no power to dictate to the lenders what to do.
Right.
They can't. They just won't. They don't. They're not. So there is no dictation. You will help this person. So you may qualify, and Bank of America is going to say, no, you don't qualify, because they get to set the terms.
Yeah.
So that is incredibly frustrating. I agree.
Am I missing anything here?
No, but
what
you...
What am I missing?
There is... You're looking for logic. You're looking for logic in a world that hasn't had logic in about 6 years.
Oh, okay.
So you're not going...
Maybe I was missing a step somewhere, or I should be contacting someone else.
Well, you should be, and I'll give you that in just a moment. So get out a piece of paper and a pen.
I got it.
But logic does not rule the day when it comes to the mortgage crisis. That's why week in and week out I talk about how this is absolutely a nutso situation, how we're at a watershed moment, and how the banks are getting ready to shed all of the foreclosures and short sales. And people like you, Angie, who are 25% underwater, you are so much more likely to go and do what they call a strategic default. Now, you probably want to stay in your house, which is great, but there are a lot of people who are underwater as much as you are, and the banks are terrified. They're just getting out of touch. And so there is just a huge shift going on right now in the mortgage industry, and you're kind of caught in it. And that stinks. I know.
Okay.
Deadline, everybody wants to be uncaught. So here's
one. Are you going to help me?
I'm going to tell you one thing that you can try.
Okay.
You can go to the regulator for Bank of America. They regulate all of the big banks. It's the OCC. And their website is called helpwithmybank.gov. Helpwithmybank.gov.
Okay.
And you can file a complaint. You will get a case number. And they will have their team at the OCC look at your loan and look at your rejection and try and figure out if it was done legally or not.
Okay.
And they will come back and they will tell you. Now, you can take that case number and you can send it to me at my website at thinkglink.com. With a paragraph explanation of what happened, with your complete contact information, and I will forward it to people that I know at Bank of America so they also can take a look and make sure that you are getting, and I'm not saying that I can get that approved for you. What I'm saying is I can make sure that the information the lender gave you was actually accurate.
Okay.
And we will have people at Bank of America at a very high level take a look. So
okay.
I can do that for you.
Great.
I cannot promise I'm solving this for you. I can't promise that you're going to get a refinance. But can you afford your mortgage with the new jobs?
Yeah.
Then
who knows these days whether I'm going to keep mine or he's going to keep his.
Of course.
You
we
know,
talked about that last hour.
I was listening to you and said, oh, so where I'm at.
It's scary as anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could have an extra $200 in your pocket every month, you would love that. You'd probably save it.
My husband's over here throwing money, this new money at our credit cards. I'm going, honey, throw it at a savings account right now. We'll go ahead and keep paying monthly on the credit cards. But we got to have a buffer here.
Right.
And he's disagreeing. He says, if I get all of our credit cards paid off, we can possibly live on just my account. Mine and yours. Well, I'm going, well, what if we both lose it? Come on. You know, anyway, that's a different story.
No, it's the right story, actually. It's the story that keeps you up all night.
Household in America right now.
Well, all except the ones that are on Wall Street.
but, you know, even them, I mean, if things keep going down, you know, how many people are going to get laid off that are, or because there's no one buying stocks and bonds?
I think that we're all scared, and I worry about this.
We're all in the same boat, and it's leaky.
We are, and that's how you know. That's why week in and week out, I say we're not out of this yet. That's why when numbers come in and not enough people are getting jobs, and the jobs they're getting are not as good as the way they were. We've talked to 3 or 4 people today. All of them now have new jobs. All of them are making significantly less than they were.
Exactly.
That is not what I call a recovery.
I know.
And it is really terrifying, and you must be freaked out about it.
Oh, yeah. I've got my next-door neighbor been doing a short sale and moving back to California because he can't make mortgage, and he's going to be working for his brother in California. He has 7 kids.
Oh, my gosh, 7 kids.
Oh, yeah, 7 kids.
And that short sale is going to really kill your value. This is the other flip side.
That's probably why it went to 149.
Right. Did he sell? Did he get that short sale to go through? Did somebody actually buy it?
It's still in process.
Yeah.
Still in process.
It's a tough time. Are you planning on...
down is foreclosure here and short sale there and, you know, going back to the bank there. It's terrible. And we are in a hugely stable community. I mean, the average person has had their house 20 years.
Yeah.
That's average. And I'm over here going, these retirees are going crazy. Like, oh, my gosh, you know.
There's just simply... It's just not working for most people.
It's not working.
And you're a perfect snapshot of a typical American who should be getting help. And for a million reasons, you probably won't get it. And we're going to try and fix that for you. I don't know if we can, because I'm not really a magic worker. I just play one on the radio.
Oh, there you go.
but I will do what I can.
Doctor.
That's right. I will do what I can to try and help this. But you need to start the ball rolling. You've got to go to helpwithmybank.gov. And you know where else you should file a complaint, Angie? The new CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB.gov. I was told by Richard Cordray, who's running CFPB, that they're doing something. He couldn't actually articulate what they're doing with these complaints, but he encouraged me to send you to the CFPB to file a complaint against the lenders. So I want you to do that as well. That's 3 things. You're going to file with helpwithmybank.gov, you're going to file with the CFPB.gov, and then you're going to send the case number to me, and I'm going to pass that along, and we're going to try and get you some help.
Looks like I got a second part-time job.
You do. But you know what? So does everybody else in America. Good luck, Angie. I am really hopeful. Keeping my fingers crossed, a good Sunday prayer that this works out for you and your husband. And congratulations on him getting a new job. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glenk. You're listening to News Talk WSB.
Expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glenk. You're listening to The Elise Glenk Show live on Sundays 11 to 1 on News Talk WSB. Don't forget to check in online. We tweet regularly at Glink, at GLINK. I'm writing every week for CBS News, for Money Watch, for the Equifax Finance blog. Good stories on Equifax Finance blog this week, by the way. Tax, real estate, insurance, investing stuff, really good credit information, great stuff. Just go to Equifax.com/financeblog or Equifax.com, and you can just click on the finance blog. There's a link at the top. Equifax has just... What we are trying to do there is provide you with amazing information, all free, that is going to help you move your financial life further. It's really great. Equifax.com's finance blog. 404-872-0750. Let's go to the phones. Eric joins us on the line. Hey, Eric, welcome to the program.
Hi, Elise. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind today?
Real quick, my wife and I bought our primary residence in April 2007 at the peak of the market. We got a very favorable, you know, put 5% down and a 7-1 ARM that's at 5.75%.
Okay.
Our house is about 20-25% underwater right now, but we've got a pretty good nest egg in savings. My question is, would it make more sense for us to use that money to try and put more equity in our current house and refinance and get out of a jumbo loan into a more traditional FHA loan? Or would we be better off buying a lake property on Lake Oconee that we've been looking at that we could use and get utility out of, but that also would be a potential investment property for us as well, as it would appreciate over time? And
well, you hope it's going to appreciate over time.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you haven't done so well in this house, unfortunately. You know, you're at a crossroads, Eric. I have to say to you, you know, it doesn't just come down to dollars and cents. A lot of this is about what you're going to do over the next 5 to 7 years. I mean, have you envisioned where you're going to be down the line? Where do you want to be 5 years from now?
Well, I mean, I think we'll still be in this house. I don't think that we can afford to get out of it. I don't see it recovering, you know, in the next couple of years. So I think in 5 to 10 years, you know, maybe we'd be back at parity to where we were in 2007.
So you're thinking about trying to leverage out the investment by buying the lake house.
Exactly.
I'm not sure a lender is going to think that you can afford the lake house.
I've already qualified.
You've already qualified for it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you've easily qualified for that, why don't you have enough money to start paying down your mortgage on the original house as well as buy the lake house?
I could do that. Yeah, I absolutely could, because, you know, the difference between the lake house and the current house, I'm in the lake house is about half the price of what I'm currently in. So, you know, making the 20% down payment on the lake house, I mean, paying down some of the principal on the current house is easily doable.
If it's easily doable, that's what you should do, because staying up at night wondering whether you're going to be able to get out of that house, if you want to get out of that house, is really not where you want to be. So finding a way to pay it down so that you can refinance and have the lake house sounds a little bit to me like having your cake and eating it too. And if you can do that, you're going to be a real winner in this housing crisis. Thanks for your call, Eric. 404-872. Oh, wait, what am I saying? Our time is up. You're going to have to find me online, everybody. Hope you have a great Sunday. Enjoy the week.